right. Hey, everyone. I'm Anna. So it's been a hot minute since I've spoken at Overflow. Bear has been hitting it out of the park the last few weeks. But I'm very grateful to be back up here and to chat about God. So, yeah. Sorry. I have a little bit of a cough. But yeah, I hope you guys all had a good Christmas this last week. It's kind of crazy to think about how Christmas is already over. And 2019 is going to be done in just a handful of days. So it's kind of crazy, but that kind of brings me to what we're going to be talking about today, which is New Year's resolutions. And I'm not just going to go down a list of God-centered resolutions that we all could have this year, but instead I'm going to talk about three kind of fundamental ones that will not only help strengthen your relationship with God in 2020, but also create a sturdy foundation for any other resolutions that you might be planning on having. So, before we kind of get into that, I just want to take a quick detour and talk about resolutions for a second. They are kind of a joke at this point. Like, they're notorious for rarely ever working. So I did a little research to find some, like, success rates, and it's kind of interesting. So I found out there's actually a fall off the wagon day that they calculate every year. And typically, people have given up on their resolutions by the second week of February. So that's only 40 days, kind of an oof. And the amount of people who successfully accomplish their resolutions is only 8%. Not 8% of, like, everyone in the world, but just of people who, like, were set on doing it. So, yikes. It kind of begs the question as to why we have such a hard time following through with our goals, our resolutions. And it's really because we dream big and we dream quickly. So we want to achieve this lofty vision and we want to see immediate results. Because if we don't, we either get bored or uninterested or feel like it's just not worth our time. So that being said, if we want to actually follow through, we kind of need to start off with something doable and take it step by step so we aren't super overwhelmed. So I just kind of want to keep that in the back of our minds during the message, as well as with New Year's coming up. But the three challenges and resolutions I have for us today, they're really more life resolutions than New Year's, so I don't want us to get all, like, ready to go, you know? Okay. So the first one I have for us is give God the burdens of the past. That's what I want our first focus to be going into this new year. And I think it's truly one of the most important steps if we want to grow into the person that not only God wants us to, but also be living happily in his grace. Some of us probably don't look at the past with an endearing light towards ourselves, maybe because of something more serious, like regret over how we handled a situation or an action we did that had severe consequences. Or maybe it's something a little more lighthearted, like you wish you could have told yourself, your younger self, to have better taste in fashion. I wish I could tell myself that. But yeah, yikes. Wish I didn't have to look back at that. So, but what I really am saying is, like, we've all struggled with things. We've all had points of our life where maybe it was addiction, or maybe we were overcome with pride or greed, or there was just something that was not quite right, you know? And sometimes when we look back at ourselves, if we've, like, overcome that, it's kind of hard. It's a burden to think about that. But one thing that I really want to get clear is we are not who we've been. And God knows that. He doesn't look at our past and think of us any differently. To him, we are everything, and it doesn't matter if we've made mistakes, you know, as long as we've come to him. So I just want to keep that in our minds here. And I also want to point out that no past indiscretion is greater than the other. So no one is more worthy of God's love than the other. I know Jake kind of touched on that, but it's true. There's no one holier person, you know, besides Jesus. He was the only perfect person. We all have pasts, and God is there and going to accept it no matter what. And I kind of have just a really quick verse here. I don't have it on the board, but it's, "For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it." So that just kind of reiterates that, you know, if a white lie or a lie in the eyes of God is the same as murder. You know, all sins are equal across the board. So it doesn't matter how bad you think you were compared to someone else. As long as you have Christ in your life, it is forgiven. So I just want to remember that. And also, something that gives us hope if we're not so proud of our past is that we're all new creations in Christ. So it doesn't matter who you were, we are all born again through Christ. And I'm going to read a verse here, Romans 6, 1 through 6, and it should be on the board. "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, that the body ruled by sin may be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." So no matter how bad your deeds have been in the past, no matter what you've done, how guilty you think you should be, you're not with Christ as your Savior. If you give it all to him, you give the past to him, everything that weighs down on you that you've done before, just give it to him and he'll accept it and he forgives you for it. And he loves you no different than anybody else. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And it should be very hopeful. Going forward. So I'm not saying, though, that we should forget what happened, because that's how we learn, right? Everything happens for a reason. So we have to kind of think about it. Even if we were put in a sticky situation or we made a stupid decision, God knew that that was going to happen, right? And there's a learning lesson from all of it. So we have to accept that it happened, acknowledge it, and then move on, which can be the tricky part. I know for me, I have a very hard time moving on. Just like when you're laying in bed at night and you think about all the stupid stuff you said, let that go. So, yes, moving on to my second point now. Our second resolution here is allow God to move in the present. So I took a microeconomics class this past year, and a big part of that class was understanding why people do things that they do, right? And kind of the main takeaway from that is that people make decisions that they believe will improve their well-being. Not that they're always right, but it is human nature that we are constantly trying to better ourselves. I mean, New Year's resolutions is just a point of that, right? It's a thing that we use to try and better ourselves. So sometimes this can kind of be a fun and exciting experience, right? You're learning a new skill, you're growing, and you feel super accomplished or proud. I know this is kind of stupid, but I went to the post office the other day and mailed a package all by myself. And I was like, look at me go, I'm a little adult. So thank you. So sometimes it feels really good, you know, you're moving, you're growing, you're getting better. But sometimes we are trying to better ourselves because where we are right now isn't the best place for us. And we know that there needs to be a change. So when we're trying to improve ourselves in that kind of way, a kind of not so bubbly kind of way, It's important to remember that God isn't just waiting for us at the finish line. He's not waiting for us to improve and get to the point where we want to be. He is with us through every up and down we go on that journey. He's actively walking it with us. He's not waiting. And I know I've definitely touched on this before, but I think it's super important to accept God and invite him into your life at points that you're not too proud of him seeing, because he sees it anyway, and he wants to be there for you. He wants to help you get to your goal. He's not just waiting for you to do it on your own. So I think it's super important to remember that, that he's there through the good and the bad and the ugly. In a time of looking at things that we want to change, like New Year's, we can get very vulnerable or maybe ashamed of some of our wishes, and we may be more prone to shut out God. So a little challenge to see if you are, just kind of ask yourself, when you feel uncomfortable or you're self-conscious or you're embarrassed or ashamed or whatever, do you turn to the people in your life who you're closest to for comfort, or do you turn inward and try to work through it on your own? Because whatever your answer may be, there is a good chance that you're mirroring that in your relationship with God, even if you know it or not. So it's good to check that, because I know I'm definitely an inward-looking person, and sometimes I catch myself trying to work it through on my own instead of going to God. So just a good check, because it is very, very important that God is with you through that. So I'm going to read Psalm 34, 4 through 5. God met me more than halfway. He freed me from my anxious fears. Look at him. Give him your warmest smile. Never hide your feelings from him. So this is the Message translation, which I'm not usually a big fan of, but when I read that, I actually smiled, and I felt so comforted in a way that, doesn't happen all the time. And it just, God is more than willing to meet us halfway or more than halfway, or sometimes he meets us at rock bottom, right? But that's what he does. He is our parental figure that some of us might not have experienced, and it will do everything for us no matter where we are, and all he asks is that we ask. And it's such a great thing to not have any expectation. We don't have to be a certain person. We just be ourselves, and God is ready to accept us where we are. So that brings us to our last point, which is continue pursuing God in the future. So I know with camps and stuff, or maybe if you are doing some New Year's resolutions that are Christian-like, you can be super excited right away, and you're like, all right, let's go. I'm ready to read my Bible three times a day. I'm going to, memory verse, all those things. But we know that that fades pretty quick. And so it's a good challenge to not be so aggressive in the beginning, to just kind of maybe even ease into it. Start off low and then build yourself up, instead of starting from this super high place, realizing that it's impossible to do that all the time. So I want to challenge you to challenge yourself, and I'm included in this, to want to seek God, not just through the next year, but forever, because unlike some New Year's resolutions, this isn't just a one year and done kind of thing. This is something that we should be striving for forever. This isn't even just a life thing. This determines our fate forever, forever. And so it's so important that we are making an effort and that we are constantly trying to pursue God and not get burnt out. So I just want to kind of end this on a more relaxing note, because I know as the year's coming to the end, we can kind of relieve our stresses and be hopeful for the coming year. So I want you all to close your eyes. right? Take a breath in and just exhale all of that stuff that stressed you out, all of that crazy stuff, the good, you know, the bad, and just breathe in and just slowly breathe and accept God's help for this upcoming year. Accept the hopefulness that he will bring. And I just want to leave you off the note with accepting God, letting him into your life, letting him see the bad parts, letting him see the bad stuff in your past, you know, letting him see all of you because he's ready to accept every single bit of you. So I'm going to pray, if you don't mind joining me. Dear God, we are here for you. Everything we do, Lord, is in your name. We just pray that the stresses of 2019 don't follow us. Coming year, Lord, that you are there every step of the way as we try to continually just improve ourselves, to better ourselves so that we can properly relay your name to those who may not know you, Lord, so that we can move your message forward, that we can show love to those who need it the most, Lord. None of this we could do without you. You are there for us when we don't deserve it, but you are there, Lord, no matter what. And we thank you. We thank you for being the parent we all need, the father figure, Lord, the caretaker, no matter what. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.